Now, because we are coming to Rosh Hashanah, and in fact this is the last session before Rosh Hashanah, I thought we would study a piece of Tanya which relates to Rosh Hashanah. It's in the section called Igeret HaKodesh, and it's chapter 14, and that means it's page 462. 461, 462, if you look at the bottom pages, and it's Kuf Kof at the top, and it's chapter 14.
What does alacrity mean?
Alacrity means very quickly.
You're right on it. Right on it, in it.
Sure.
Kuf. Kuf Kof.
Yeah.
Right. What's the start of it? Kuf.
Kuf and Kof.
And Kof.
Is that Kof?
Yeah.
You got the right page?
Yeah.
462.
461, 462 at the bottom. Yeah.
It's the core who's got the camera on, never mind.
Okay. Now, Yudalad, chapter Yudalad. Lo oire es ha'ava ha'yeshona. To arouse the old love, that means the love that we all have all the time. It might just get a little bit hidden. V'chibas, the love for, another word for love, Arzenu HaKadosha, the Holy Land. That means the land of Israel. Now the point is that there was a Hasidic community living in the land of Israel. They went there in 1777. A large group of Hasidim went from Eastern Europe to live in Israel, the land of Israel, and they were basically in the city of Tiberias and Sfat, and that was the main community. That means in the north of Israel. And Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the author of Tanya, he had the responsibility to raise money in Europe and send it to them to look after them, because there wasn't any clear way for them to make a living. They were all great Torah scholars, and they were there, and by money being sent from Europe, they were able to live. Now this institution of sending money from Europe to Israel had been going on for hundreds of years, and it was a very common thing for the Europe.
Was it under the Ottoman Empire at the time?
It was indeed under the Ottoman Empire, yes. And the idea that there were Jews living in Israel, and rabbis living in Israel, and the community in Europe supported them, that had been going a very long time. And the fund for looking after them is called Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes. Now, eventually this Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes divided up into a few different groups. So there's Kollel Chabad, Kollel Poland, Kollel Ungarn, like different groups. But there were all, it's all part of this Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes fund. So you will find, you know, charity boxes today, Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes, and so one is Kollel Chabad, and then there are other parts to it as well. So that also, Rabbi Shneur Zalman is collecting money to send to these people. And he's saying that Liois Bo'eres Kirish Be'esh, this love, the love that you have for the land of Israel and for the people, the Jewish people living in the land of Israel, you want to support them, this love should be burning like a flame, Mikerev Ish Ve'Lev Amoik. It should be burning from inside each person's heart, from the depths of their heart. Ki'ilu hayoim mamash, as if it was just today, Nosan Hashem Ruchoi Oleinu, that Hashem put His Spirit on us, Ruach Nediva, a spirit of generosity, Behisnadevom, so that the people can contribute, Lemalois Yodom LaHashem B'Yad HaMaleah, that they should be very happy to donate V'Rechovo generously, B'ribui acharibui, more and more, midei shona v'shona. Now this is the crux of what he's saying. That last year you gave 100 rubles, in charity to Eretz Yisrael. This year you should give 120. Next year, with the help of God, give 140. It should be going up all the time. Whatever it is that we do good should always be increasing, should always be expanding. So every year it should be increasing, and it's not only giving charity, it's all as with the help of God. God will give us more sustenance. The more we give in charity, the more Hashem gives to us to be able to give charity. Loive Hashem choinen dal. The person who gives to the poor person is lending money to God. So you give someone £100, it's as if you're lending God £100. So God gives you back the £100. And unlike us, if we borrow money from someone, we're not allowed to give him a penny more. You have to give him exactly the same money. You mustn't give interest. You mustn't take interest. But God, although he usually keeps the Torah, there's a sense in which he's beyond that. And if we lend someone, he will give us back more and more and more. So if we give money in charity, so there's giving in charity, there's learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, it should always be more and more. Hoylech v'oyle l'male roish, climbing higher and higher. Kemidas kodesh ha'elyon. If we increase on our part doing good things like giving charity, learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, year by year, always doing more, that complements what is happening from Hashem's side, that Hashem is shining always a higher level of radiance to the land of Israel and to the rest of the world and to each of us. Because, and this is the focus, the way it relates to Rosh Hashanah, what he's going to spell out is that there is all the time a life force coming from Hashem, and every Rosh Hashanah that life force is renewed and increased, and it's more than it ever was before. So the life force from Hashem is more than ever was before, so in the same way should be from us. The positive mitzvahs that we carry out should also be more than ever before. We should always be increasing more and more. So this sacred quality shining, Hameela Atzena HaKadosha, which shines to the Holy Land, to our Holy Land, HaMishchadesh U'Mishrabe Tomid, which is always getting more and more, renewing itself, Kedichsiv, as it says in a verse, Tomid Einei Hashem Elekecha Bo, always the eyes of Hashem your God are on it, it meaning the Holy Land, the Land of Israel, Mereches Hashono V'ad Achlis Shono, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So there we have the idea that Hashem is giving life and blessing to the Land of Israel from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Now, when it says giving life to the land of Israel, it goes first to the land of Israel, and from the land of Israel it spreads around the whole world. So this is the way Hashem is giving you new life force to the whole world, and he's giving it to the land of Israel first. And now there's a peculiarity in this verse, that Hashem, always the eyes of God are on the land of Israel from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Now, Rabbi Shneur Zalman says, why does it say to the end of the year? The Haiva ad Acharis Chuli, Eina Muvan, L'cha'ira. Why does it say from the beginning to the end? Shahari ba'acharis shona zu, mascheles shona shnia. At the end of this year begins the next year. Ve'im kein hava le'loima. And so the verse, you would have expected the verse to say, L'olam voed, forever and ever. Hashem's life force goes to the land of Israel forever and ever. Why does it say from the beginning of the year to the end of the year? And he's going to explain that this is the idea of the cycle of the year. The cycle of the Jewish year from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah means that every Rosh Hashanah a new burst of life force is coming into the world. So it's a kind of a cycle, and that from that beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, We then come round, we come to the end of the year, and then it's as if the old life force goes away, and there's a new burst of life force, a new rejuvenation of everything in the world at that moment. And that's the incredible thing that we are preparing ourselves for Rosh Hashanah now, is in that atmosphere of this new burst of life force which is going to come. Now, first of all, he speaks about this in very spiritual terms, in sort of Kabbalistic terms. Let's see how he says it. Ach ha'inyan yuvan, right? That's the second paragraph where there's like a big letters. Ach, yep. Ach ha'inyan yuvan, but this can be understood al pi ma shekosov, according to what's written, a verse, Hashem b'chochma yosad oretz. Hashem in wisdom founds the earth. Now all these verses have many different levels of meaning. And what it's saying here is that sheyosoid ha'aretz elyona, the foundation of the upper land. See, Hashem in wisdom founds the earth, or you could say Hashem in wisdom founds the land. That, now that means that the foundation of the upper land, now the upper land doesn't mean a land with earth and trees, it's a spiritual realm. He bechinas mamale kol almin. It's the radiance of God which fills all the worlds. It's the Shekhinah, it's the divine presence which is giving life to everything. And that divine presence, that force of the spiritual radiance which fills all the worlds, that's the called the upper land, and that, and also the hatachtoina, the lower land. Now the lower land, he eretz chefetz. That is our precious, beautiful land of Israel. Hamechuvenes kenegdo mamash, which exactly corresponds to the upper land, v'nikres al shema, and it's called similarly eretz hachayim, the land of life. That's why the land of Israel is so special. That's why it's always in the news. Whatever happens around the land of Israel, it's always in the news. That's the thing that CNN or the BBC or this or that, they're always focusing on it. You could have millions and millions of people in Africa, and God forbid some terrible disaster happen, it is almost ignored, or some terrible war which is taking place, ignored by the press. It's ignored. But something happens in Israel, oh, that's immediately the focus of attention. Now, there's really a spiritual reason for this. The land of Israel is the Holy Land. The land of Israel corresponds to this sacred dimension, which it calls here the upper land. So there's the lower land, that's the land of Israel, and then the upper land, the spiritual dimension, which is beyond it, which it connects to. Hinehu nimshach mahamshachos va'ores chochma ilah. Now the way that the upper land gets its life force, which it then pours into the lower land, that is from a flow which comes from much higher up, what is called the upper wisdom. Now these are Kabbalistic concepts. Wisdom is an exalted part of the Sfirot, of the divine emanations. And from wisdom, that's called the Makor HaChaim Elyonim. That's the source of upper life. The source of life which comes from above, Kedirsiv HaChochma Techai Baaleya, as it says, wisdom gives life to those who have it. Now you see, this idea that wisdom gives life to those who have it, which is a verse in the Tanakh, you could understand this just simply that a person who's clever, their cleverness gives them life and helps them direct their lives in a proper way. But the deeper dimension of Torah looks at this verse and says, you know what? The spiritual quality of wisdom is the source of life. The spiritual quality of wisdom is the source of life through all the different dimensions. Uh-huh. With three lines from the bottom on page 462.
Thank you.
In the middle of the line, Vaha'ora Vahamshachazu, and this radiance, this flow of life, he mischadeshes. It's renewed. Ba'al Chodosh Mamash, with an absolutely new radiance, B'chol Shana V'Shana, every single year. That's what we are focusing on now, Rosh Hashanah, and this is a tremendous thing that's happening. Now, people don't realize how wonderful this is. People haven't read this esoteric chapter in Tanya, but their neshama knows that something special is going on. That's why the shul, which can hardly get a minyan on an ordinary Shabbos morning, comes Rosh Hashanah, suddenly it's packed. They have to hire another hall, a nearby dance hall, to put the extra the extra congregants in, because there isn't room. Because the neshama realizes that there's something special going on. It's Rosh Hashanah. So what the special thing that's happening is this new burst of radiance, ki of life force, ki hu yisbarach v'chochmosoi echad b'tachlis hayichud, because God and His wisdom are one with total unity. And so therefore, when we talk about a flow coming from Hashem's wisdom, it's really a flow coming from Hashem's essence. V'nikra b'shem ayin sof baruch hu, over the page, and it is called the radiance of the infinite, may it be blessed. She'ein sof ve'ein keitz, it's totally unlimited. L'mailus u'gudulus o'or v'achayus, the greatness of that radiance and that life force. See, radiance and life force, they're kind of, they mean the same thing. When we speak about this life force flowing from God into the world, making the world exist, another way of speaking of it is energy, and light is another kind of energy, you see, so it's a kind of a spiritual energy. So it's all a metaphor for this spiritual flow which is coming from God. So light is a metaphor. Life force is not so much a metaphor, that's really true, that the energy that flows from God makes everything live and exist. So this life force and radiance, hanimshach mimeni yisbarach mechochmosai, which comes from God and His wisdom, be'ilui acha ilui, from a level which is higher and higher upwards, adein keitz v'tachlis, without limit, how high it goes, l'ruma mailos, to the very most exalted level, l'maila maila, the highest, highest level. Now, when Rabbi Shneur Zalman writes about higher and higher, he appreciates what that means. You see, for us, if you said, you got to go from Stamford Hill to the West End, and in the West End, you'll go to Hyde Park, and in Hyde Park, you'll do this or that, that's very tangible to us. We can understand that. To Rabbi Shneur Zalman, when he says, higher and higher, the divine attribute of wisdom, you know, to him, this was very tangible. It was so tangible that it was so intense for him that there were certain words he couldn't say. The author of this book that we're reading, there were certain words he could not say because it was too intense. The highest level of the spiritual realms is called Atzilus. Now, I just said that to Rabbi Shneur Zalman, it was too intense for him to say.
He was there.
That's right. That's right. He could feel it. So he used to just say in Yiddish, "Oiben," up there, up there. That's above, above. So when he's saying this radiance comes from above, to that, to, this tangibly means something to him. Over chol shana v'shana, and every single year, yored u'meyer, that descends and shines michochma ilah, from the highest level of wisdom, or chodosh u'mechudosh, a new radiance, an absolutely new radiance, which never ever shone before. Now this is one of the remarkable things about this chapter, because it's saying that Rosh Hashanah is not just a renewal of life force. It's renewal of life force coming from a level that has never shone before. In other words, we're always reaching a higher level, and every Rosh Hashanah we come to a peak that we've never been on before, that humanity and existence, creation, has never experienced such a great revelation of God coming to give life to our world. So in that sense, we're always going higher. Now that's a very interesting idea, because there's almost opposite idea in Jewish teaching, that we're going lower and lower. If you consider the people that we are today, and we compare that with the generation even of our grandparents. Now, our grandparents, compared with us, generally were very spiritual people. And when you consider their grandparents, and then their grandparents, you know, the further back you go, it is more and more higher and higher levels. In fact, the Talmud says, if the earlier sages were like angels, then we are like people. And if the earlier sages were like people, we are like donkeys. In other words, we're going lower and lower. But the radiance that comes from Hashem is coming from a higher and higher place.
Interrupting.
Yeah.
So why isn't Jeffrey then, why isn't little Yoinala on that parallel
level? Yeah, why aren't you and me, why aren't we on that higher level? That's what you're saying.
Yeah. If the koyach is coming in at that tremendous, as you explained, so why haven't people who've got a flavour already of Yiddish, why isn't everybody a chosid? Why am I walking around, you know, doubling three times a day and running to shul and be, you know, it's urgent. So,
it's a good question.
Because we don't study like them every day, every second, every
minute. But if the koyach is coming in, why?
See, Jeffrey's question is, since more and more spiritual energy is coming in every year, so why hasn't that had an effect on everyone that they go to shul three times a day, for example? Yes?
I'm doing something.
Thank God.
And we're all doing something, but, you know, why isn't it...
Well, do you know that the fact... See, there's a story I might have shared with you once before. My dear friend Rabbi Lou, he was once in a taxi. And with a taxi driver. And he realized, it was a gentleman, he realized he was probably Jewish. And he said to him, are you Jewish, by the way? And the taxi driver said, yes I am. And then Rabbi Lou said, do you ever go to shul? And the taxi driver said, yes. Then he said after a moment, mind you, sometimes I miss a year. So he goes to shul once a year, but sometimes, you know, it doesn't work out. Now to me, that's an incredible expression of dedication to God. Here is this person living thousands of years after the giving of the Torah, 2,000 years after the destruction of the temple, living in a basically non-Jewish society, and nonetheless, once a year, he goes to shul. That's an incredible thing. And in fact, that man's heart is dedicated to Judaism. Doesn't express it in an open way so much in terms of going to shul. But he expresses it in other ways. But it's very, very precious to him. In fact, it says in Tanya, that person, and even people who don't go to shul once a year, that person is ready to give up his or her life to Judaism. It's a tremendous level of dedication. Now, the fact that you have a person living now, 2,000 years after the temple was destroyed, imagine that. Imagine that we were there a few months after the destruction of the temple. And we might say, oh, what a terrible thing's happened. What's going to be in the future? Will Judaism survive? Will there be anyone in 1,000 years' time, in 2,000 years' time, will there be any Jews around? And if they were then able to see that there was a person who goes to shul once a year, that was, wow, phenomenal. Now, one way of understanding the answer to your question, Jeffrey, is that because we're so low, we need a greater light. Because we have gone through such sorrows and such pain and the Holocaust in the generation of our grandparents, all those different things that have happened, we need a greater radiance to lift us up. Another way of understanding it as well is that although we are very puny, that we're tiny, but there's a sense in which we are on the shoulders of giants. So the giants of the sages who come before us and are lifting us up, as it were, onto their shoulders, and we are able to look ahead. All right, so let's take a few more lines. So this exalted thing, from this very, very exalted level, so we have reached the fifth line down, the last word at the end of the line. So there's this great radiance, new radiance, which never shone before, me'olam, and it's shining now, le'eretz elyoino, it's shining to the upper land, which is the divine presence, the sphere of malchus, the attribute kingship, or the radiance which fills all the worlds. All these are words for this upper level, this upper land. And then from there it flows into the lower land, into the land of Israel, and from there it flows around the whole world to every human being and everything in the world. Now, how does this work? Ki or kol shana v'shana, because the radiance, the life force of every single year, mistalik l'shorshoi, goes back to its source, b'chol erev Rosh Hashanah, every eve of Rosh Hashanah, which will be 2 weeks' time, Wednesday, will be the eve of Rosh Hashanah. So at that time, the life force, the energy, goes back to its source. And there's an interesting thing. Most of our festivals are on the 15th of the month, like Pesach and Sukkot. And the 15th of the month is a time when the moon is full. The first of the Jewish month is a time when the moon is hidden. When the moon is hidden, the moon represents the life force coming to the world and to the Jewish people. So the moon is hidden, and so that is symbolizes the way that the life force coming from Hashem is going back to its source. It's as if the world is poised. And after that, al yedei tkiyas shofar v'hatfilos, through blowing the shofar and the davening, there's the blowing of the shofar, which reaches up to a very exalted level and draws radiance down from God into the world. And there is each one of us davening deeply from the depth of our heart, even if we don't actually realize what we're doing. You might find that there's some people that go to shul and they just chat with friends, you know, especially if one only goes once a year. So there's a whole group of friends you only see once a year, you know, so what do you expect? You know, where do you go for your summer holiday? You know, things like that. But the prompting which made that person go to shul comes from the very depth of his soul and her soul. So there is this situation of this quality of coming from the very depths of our soul, and how much more so if we daven on Rosh Hashanah. And you know, if you look at the translation, what the davening means, it's incredibly beautiful. Very, very, very beautiful davening. Very, very beautiful. And there are some lovely poems in the right in the long part of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur there are some very, very beautiful poems, and you know, it's something very delightful to read. If you like, read the English side, the translation, to try and understand it. It's something very special. And so through that, there is a yearning of the heart which reaches towards God, and from that Nimshech Or Chodesh Elyon, then that draws down. You see, we elicit, we reach up and we elicit a new level of radiance, Mipchina Elyona Yosef, from a higher level, Shubba Madregas Chochma Elah, of the whole realm of the upper wisdom, like, but there are many levels, infinite levels of the upper wisdom. So we're reaching to a higher level and a higher level. Each year it's from a higher level. Lahoy le Eretz Elyona, to shine, first of all, to the spiritual realm, the upper land, V'ladorim Aleya, and those which dwell on it. Now, by this we don't mean ordinary people. Heim kol ha'olamos elyonim v'atachtonim, the upper worlds and the lower worlds, hamakablim chiyusim mimena, which get their life force from this sphere of malchus, from this attribute kingship. Tehainu min ha'o ein sof baruch hu v'chochmosoi. How do they get the life force from kingship? They get it from the radiance of the infinite and his wisdom, Amalubashbal, which is enclosed in that energy of the divine presence. Kidichsiv, as it's written, Ki imcha makor chayim, with you is the source of life. Ba'ocha nire'ah, in your radiance, we will see radiance. Incredible words. That means the radiance which shines from the upper wisdom, Mekor HaChayim, which is the source of life, miss out the brackets, and that radiance then flows down into the, that flows down into the divine presence, and from there it flows round the world to every, and from there it flows, sorry, into the land of Israel, the physical land of Israel, and from the land of Israel it flows all round the world and to every one of us. Now that's what happens every Rosh Hashanah, and that's a phenomenal thing, and that's why we're all excited about Rosh Hashanah. And we send Rosh Hashanah cards, and we make honey cake, that it should be a sweet year. We're asking God it should be a sweet year, so we have honey cake. And there are different foods that are eaten Rosh Hashanah night, the first night, to express the way in which we should have a sweet year, like we dip the challah in honey. Normally on a Friday night, we dip it in salt, and on Shabbos. But now, the whole festival, we dip it in honey. We're expressing that idea of sweetness. That's right. Now that's what happens once a year. Now the thing is, are we only going to go to shul once a year? Well, Rabbi Shneur Zalman has thought of this as well. So he says, Ube prote protius, and in fact, in detail, kein hu bechol yoim b'yoim. In fact, the same thing is happening every single day. You see, basically what's happened is that there is a huge draft moved from an infinite source into our bank account on Rosh Hashanah, into our spiritual and physical, like a spiritual bank account for everything in our lives, including our physical lives. But in order to draw the money out, you have to go to the cash machine or whatever it might be in order to get the money. Now, that happens every day. Every day we go to a kind of cash machine and we say the right words and have the right feelings, and that's the davening, the prayer of every day, and that draws that extra life every day. So every single day, b'chol yoim b'yoim, every single day, nimshachin moichin elyoinim yoisa, there's drawn down a higher level of cerebral, of our minds, something radiating to our mind. Behold, tefillas hashachar, every morning prayer that we say, we might say the Shema, the Amida, put on tefillin, a few minutes it might be, but at that moment something is happening. There is a new mind, a new cerebral radiance which is flowing to us. It's not the same mind which went away after yesterday's prayer. It's higher. And so we have this every single day, and then we have the generality of the world in the 6,000 years of the existence of the world. Also there's this cycle, and Keinu Bechol Rosh Hashanah v'Rosh Hashanah, and we have that same thing every Rosh Hashanah. So basically he's saying every Rosh Hashanah there's a new cycle of life force coming to us from Hashem, and in fact it's happening every day as well.
Rebbe, that new cycle of life force, is it more intense in the Holy Land or is it intense all over the world?
It's more intense everywhere, but the Holy Land is more intense all the time than everywhere. If we were more sensitive, and some people are, you know, when you go to the land of Israel, it's a very, very sacred land. And there are more mitzvahs involved with the land of Israel. The laws of kashrus in the land of Israel are a little bit more complicated than they are here because of giving tithes, truma, maisa, all kinds of extra dimensions. And it's more important, you know, it's like being under a magnifying glass. Being in the land of Israel is like being under a spiritual magnifying glass, so that whatever one does is that little bit more significant. So if a person does good, it's more significant. If God forbid the opposite, it's also more obvious. So it's very important, every little detail. So it is more intense in the land of Israel, but in the whole world, it's a renewal, which is tangibly a renewal of radiance from God every single year. And now he explains, just to complete the idea, why the verse says, like he asked a question on this verse, that's what it says, that's why the eyes of God are on the land of Israel. Why does it say eyes? Saying eyes, that's a way of saying it, it's like a symbol for what we mean by saying the flow of radiance of wisdom. That's why wise people, sages, are called the eyes of the congregation. And further, the Eretz Yisrael Machkim, the air in the land of Israel is said to make you wise. As soon as you go to the land of Israel, one becomes more wise, and that's because of this flow of wisdom coming to the land of Israel. And this flow, even though it's a constant flow, it's not always on the same level, the Vada, from the beginning of the world till now, but every single year, it's a new radiance higher than the year before. Because the radiance which flowed on this year, on this Rosh Hashanah, who mistalik be'erev Rosh Hashanah haba, on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, which is coming, the next Rosh Hashanah, it goes back l'shoshoy to its root, and then it is, and then it's renewed. So maybe we'll just very quickly finish. We're going over time a little bit, but there's only a few lines left. Now, when you look at the words Mereshis Hashanah, from the beginning of the year, there is the word Reshis does not have an Aleph. Usually the word Reshis beginning would be Resh Aleph Shin, and here the Aleph is missing. Roimez, that hints, the fact that the Aleph is missing hints Alistalkusor on the way the radiance disappears. It returns to its roots, that on the night of Rosh Hashanah it goes back to its source, ad achat kirs, till after the blowing of the shofar. Then yored o chodosh elyon yoseh, then a new radiance comes down which was higher, And he's saying it again and again because it's so important. It never shone before in the whole existence of the world, or Elyon Kazeh, such an exalted radiance. And this radiance is enclosed and concealed in the land of life, Shalamala, which is above, Ushalamata, and which is below, the land of Israel, our land of Israel, that we go from Heathrow to Lud Airport, the Ben Gurion Airport, to give life to all the worlds, Kol Meshech Shonazu, for the entire extent of this year. Ach, now it comes back to the point of what our role. Ach giluy of mahesta zeh, but the way in which this divine radiance which comes from above, how does it get revealed? Because in itself it's like a concealed spiritual radiance above. Tolui b'maisa tachtoinim, it depends on the actions of us living in the lower world. Uschusom, our merits, the mitzvahs we do, tshuvosom, and the tshuva, the repentance that we carry out. But Aseres Yemei Tshuva, in the 10 days of penitence, that means from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, V'day L'meivin, and it's enough for the one who understands the importance of Rosh Hashanah and the importance of our role in that whole process. Hashem's giving us something absolutely wonderful, but we have to play our part as well. I wish everyone a wonderful Happy New Year.
Be'ezras
Hashem. Yes, we'll be meeting next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you.